Last month, Donald Trump's charge against Democrats that they were communists, looking at the recent success of candidates associated with the Democratic Socialists of America. Now, following Abdul El-Sayed's victory in the Michigan Senate primary, Trump has taken a different tact. We're facing, in his words, jihadists.
Well, the one thing is we have jihadists being elected all over the place. We have this, whether it's communism, jihadism. It's a lot of a friend of mine called up. He said, you know, really, you should use the word jihadist because that's what's happening.
He's not the only Republican who has taken this line. Nancy Mace of South Carolina, the outgoing lawmaker, has also decried the fact that a Muslim American might represent a state in the U.S. Senate.
The guy complaining about the call to prayer five times a day, they're trying to push these people out and our values out, and that's wrong. I think this is a conversation that we have to have. What are our values and what do they look like? I don't want to hear the call to prayer five times a day in an American city.
There are other Republicans as well.
I find this alarming. Yeah. The people like Francesca Hong and the candidate, however you pronounce his name, in Michigan, are going to win these primaries and they are going to be candidates in the general election. That is alarming to me. They have to be defeated.
And I'm sure we'll be hearing about Sharia law before no time. There's even at least one Democrat. Josh Gottheimer of New Jersey says that Abdul El-Sayed's win is evidence that the Democratic Party is being taken over by anti-Semitism. That's because El-Sayed is a critic of American aid to Israel. Now, I've listened to El-Sayed talk about this quite a bit, and my sense is that his criticism has less to do with the fact that Israel is a Jewish state, and much more to do with the fact that Israel has been engaged in a genocidal war against the people of Gaza and aggression against its neighbors. El-Sayed's view is that we should follow American law, international law, and not give aid, not give military aid, to states engaged in, again, genocidal wars. And I think that's very reasonable. It's noteworthy that El-Sayed also says that we should support Ukraine because it's facing aggression from its neighbor. It's very consistent. You don't give aid to the aggressive country, you need to give aid to the country facing aggression. But Gottheimer, who has spoken negatively about Mamdani, seems to just be someone who is anti-Muslim. And one of the things that Mamdani's success and El-Sayed's victory have done is brought this Islamophobia back to the forefront of American politics. It's not that it ever went away, but that it waxes and wanes depending on the circumstances. And right now is a circumstance where it is certainly waxing. Yes, that's right, waxing, not waning. Waxing.
Wax on, wax off.
In fact, it has been quite shocking to see the level of open, explicit, and virulent anti-Muslim bigotry against Mamdani and El-Sayed and other Muslim politicians like Ilhan Omar of Minnesota and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan. It's not just that it's out there, but it's practically encouraged. And here is where I would attribute something to Trump. I know that it is somewhat in vogue often to say that, well, nothing bad about Trump is truly unique to Trump. It's all part of the vast American stew. And that's true to an extent. I have a book back there called A Liberal America by Stephen Hahn, which makes the strong argument that there is a deep-rooted tradition of illiberalism in the United States. And we obviously are familiar with the country's history of bigotry, of xenophobia, of racism, of nativism, of all these things. These are real. And yet there are taboos, right? There are standards. Even at the very height of Jim Crow, it was considered somewhat vulgar for lawmakers, especially in Washington, to voice explicit bigotry. Keep that, you know, in private. Don't say it necessarily on the floor. And what's striking, like I said, about the Islamophobia that we've been witnessing over the past few weeks is how open it is, how shameless it is. Nancy Mace's statement is shameless. I'll play it again.
The guy complaining about the call to prayer five times a day, they're trying to push these people out and our values out, and that's wrong. I think this is a conversation that we have to have. What are our values and what do they look like? I don't want to hear the call to prayer five times a day in an American city.
That's really ugly stuff. The president of the United States calling an American citizen who has done nothing wrong other than practice a different religion and win a campaign for office, the president of the United States calling that person a jihadist, it's reprehensible. It's awful. It's the kind of thing that 20 years ago would have rightly shocked everyone. I said 20 years ago for a reason. 20 years ago, in 2006, during a kind of similar political circumstance, an overreaching and unpopular Republican president, a mounting Democratic wave, 20 years ago, here in Virginia, not far from where I'm sitting right now, George Allen, the sitting senator, a Republican running for re-election, thought to be on the shortlist for potential next Republican presidential nominees, George Allen called one of his Democratic trackers, trackers being people who follow the candidates around, called this tracker, S.R. Siddharth, the dark-skinned man of Indian descent, Makaka, meaning monkey. It's right there on camera.
My friends, we're going to run this campaign on positive, constructive ideas. And it's important that we motivate and inspire people for something. This fellow here over here with the yellow shirt, Makaka, or whatever his name is.
And this became a huge thing. It derailed Allen's Senate campaign and became a huge assist to his competitor, Jim Webb, a Democrat who was running as kind of a conservative military guy. And Webb won, which helped deliver the Senate to Democrats. If a Republican politician called a person a racial slur on camera these days, I doubt anyone would blink an eye. And I say that because Donald Trump calling El Sayed a jihadist is pretty much that. It's pretty much calling an American a racial slur directly on camera and thinking nothing of it. And I would say that this represents Trump's impact on American politics. The thing he has done is made it more acceptable to be publicly bigoted, to publicly express racial and ethnic and religious prejudice, to make it so that these things are read as just sort of not innocuous, but kind of, whatever, political statements, and not direct assaults on the notion that this is a pluralist democracy, where people of all races and religions and faiths are equal. In fact, of course Trump would be the guy to do this, because in addition to being crude, the core view of his movement, the core view of his ideology, such that he has it, the core view of everything about his administration, is that we aren't a society of equals. That some Americans are worth less than others, that deserve less than others on the basis of race, ethnicity, or religion. The president rails against Somali Americans as basically subhuman and undeserving.
They come from, let's say, as an example, Somalia. They come in and then they tell us how our Constitution, how our Declaration of Independence, how it works. It doesn't work that way, and they're not smart. They have no aptitude. They have nothing going, and they're telling us how to run our country.
His vice president whips up blood libels against Haitian Americans. The Secretary of Defense has been busy purging Black Americans and women from the armed services. The key claim of the Trump administration that the United States of America is, in fact, a closed society specifically for people of direct European descent, and specifically for those among them who are Christians, and not Christianity broadly speaking, but a very specific kind of conservative evangelical or conservative Catholic Christianity. And if you're outside those categories, then you maybe just don't count. And even if you're inside those categories, if you are, for example, a woman, you have a certain prescribed place. And if you're a man who doesn't perform masculinity the way they think is appropriate, you're outside the club as well. A narrow and exclusive vision of the American people, a narrow and exclusive vision of the country. So yeah, it makes sense they would indulge all this Islamophobia. It makes sense that they would respond to a Muslim candidate winning office, or at least winning a primary, like this. El Sayed, Mamdani, Omar, Tlaib, any number of people, stand as rebukes to the country that they want to build. They are, in their very persons, a profound challenge to the idea that there's only one way to be an American.